Drive up the hot, dry Awatere Valley south of Blenheim, and the vineyards Marlborough's famed for soon start to peter out. After a while, you reach grazing country and Molesworth Station, the huge cattle farm and recreational reserve which belongs to all New Zealanders.
Good morning, everybody.
The working day starts early at Molesworth Station. It's just after 4 in the morning, and breakfast is on the go.
Baked beans, tea, into it.
We're at Tarndale, said to be the highest homestead in the country, and one of the far-flung camps for the station's musterers, who are off to work well before the sun comes up. Jim Ward's the boss.
They always start this early?
Yeah. Yeah, you've got sort of, it's quite hot. They really have to be, you know, underway and pretty much over and dusted by mid-morning. You can't really move them much further after that.
Just because of the heat?
Just too hot, yeah. And it gets too tough on dogs and horses and everything else. So.
The four stockmen, Duncan, Connell, Josh and Liam, have already got their horses in for the muster. Their days involve early starts, heat and snow, steep country and 4,000 head of cattle to keep an eye on.
What the property does, it tends to bring out the best in people. It brings out good thinking, it brings out good operational skills, good stockmanship, it brings it all out because you're relying on your horse, you're relying on your dogs, you're relying on your ability as a stock person to look after those stock, to get them in optimum condition, to look after, you know, good times and bad, because, you know, whenever we have dry spells in the summer, there's a lot of hours spent riding, putting cattle into little areas where there's a bit more feed and shuffling them around. There's a lot of that goes on. You have to keep them up to the bull because there's not a lot of fences around. So, you know, you have to do that. And because they're out at camp, they're often away from where I am, we don't set start times, we don't set finish times, we just set a work plan. So every week, twice a week, they've got to get around all their cows. And how they do that's their business, but they have to do it. It's up to them, so they've got to start early.
Get out.
Duncan Vandermaas had grown up around farms and came to Molesworth with an agri-science degree after working on one of the station's finishing farms at Hanmer.
Was always surrounded a wee bit by agriculture and probably always going to do that and into hunting and all that outdoorsy stuff, so I was probably always going to do something agricultural. Just, yeah, pretty lucky to get this experience to come up here.
Under the trees behind Tarndale Homestead are the kennels, full of excited dogs.
For the Dave, the Faith, the Liz, Rita, Cheryl, and then a few pig dogs, Stumpy, Rusty and Stone. Currently the theme is Outrageous Fortune and Westside. Hence, Rita and Cheryl.
Like all the stockmen, Duncan has a pack of 5 or 6, including a pup or two in training.
So what's the first job this morning, Duncan?
Load up horses, and you're probably going to take in the Unimog an hour or so to get around there. So drop one fella off earlier at the Island Gully there, and he'll push a few cattle over that saddle down into the block that the rest of us will be in today.
The station uses ex-army vehicles to transport the musterers and their horses. There's a lot of ground to cover. In land area, the station is New Zealand's largest farm, bigger than Rakiura Stewart Island, at 180,000 plus hectares.
Duncan, where are you from?
Rotorua, originally. My parents have just moved down to Amberley, the South Island, so see how long I can take before I can call myself a South Islander.
These stables we're in now look pretty ancient.
Yeah, definitely. That's probably a draw of coming here too. When I come here, a fella said to me, there's no other places in New Zealand that you can saddle your horse every morning and let your dogs off to go to work. So,
could you ride before you came here?
Not really, no, I hadn't done too much. Just sort of get on it and keep legs down each side and your mind in the middle and hang on. I fell off heaps. Still do. Hopefully a wee bit less these days, but still happens.
Is it easier on horseback round here than on a quad? Obviously,
yeah,
it is.
Definitely,
it's very
yeah.
steep country, isn't it?
Yeah, you wouldn't get many places on a quad or even a two wheeler. So horses still the main way of getting around. You just brush them down everywhere. There's going to be saddles touching them, girth, where the saddle blanket's going.
On goes the saddle, especially made for Molesworth musterers.
Made in Timaru, I think, by Eddie Todd. And yeah, he's sold that many of them to Molesworth now that he calls it the Molesworth Stockmore saddle. So,
just, yeah. What's special about it?
I suppose mainly these fenders on the legs, so you can ride in shorts all day. But they're an extremely comfy saddle. Like, I think it's quite common to get saddle sores when you first get a saddle, but you can jump on these from day one, ride in shorts and all day, and walk fine after it.
Like all the herd, Duncan's horse, Roger, is purpose-bred to work on the station.
He's big. He's a cruiser, nice, easy going. Yeah, he goes wherever I point him, so that's the main thing. You probably need quite a big, solid, sound horse for this country, and because of the Ks they do, so yeah, definitely. Little horses don't get around too good up here, especially when you ride them for a whole season of 9 months. So.
And what's the plan today?
So we've just put the bull out, so mainly just mobbing up, keeping cows together and bulls with them, so that the bulls do their job. So yeah, that'll be pretty much it for the day, I'd say.
We've got the Unimog here, and the horses are standing up the front. Dogs are in the back. Where are you guys going to sit?
Yeah, we'll pile into the cab there. It's a bit tight. Three's all right, but yeah, four is no fun.
A big part of our day is tuition. You know, someone took the time to teach me, and we've just got to pass that on. And so we do a lot of things like there's horse training, horse shoeing, dog training. The vet comes in and does a couple of one-day one-on-ones with them, with all the things that affect the production of cattle. So it's, you know, you've just got the four boys, five boys and the vet, and he just sits there going through all the aspects of cattle production, and then does things like teach them how to condition score cattle. So it's very, in a far-flung property like this, you know, you ask a guy how good the cattle are, and they say, yeah, they're good, but this way you can put a number on it, so you can actually tell if they're going up in condition or down in condition. You know, it's quite a valuable tool.
Which is there, your eyes out on the farm.
Yeah, exactly that. Exactly that.
Double cab to the cruiser, do you want to jump?
Yeah, go ahead.
There's 20 cows have appeared since
we're
last year, down the bottom again. Do you want
your 20th year coming up, Chip?
Yeah.
Working on Molesworth.
Yep.
And we just come over the brow of that hill, and you've got this beautiful valley spread out in front of us, and the river flowing through it. Do you ever get sick of this view?
No,
and the thing about it, as the seasons roll on, you see them from a different perspective every time you go through. I've been over here in the bulldozer when the snow's been higher than the blade, and you come on a day like this when it's a beautiful summer's day or evening. It's great. So, you know, it's always changing.
And how has this season been this summer? How's it been compared to the previous years?
Well, the last few years we're really lacking a spring. It just went very cold, like when we're spreading the cows out here. Early November, I think it was, late October. It was after Labour Weekend anyway. We're minus nine, it's 7:15 in the morning.
So how are you managing now then?
Well, one of our big things was some years ago, or 2016, when we did our business plan, we challenged ourselves to see if we could lower our physical footprint by lowering the numbers and increase our profitability through utilising the farms we've got at Hamner, and we've managed to do that. They're all dead flat finishing farms. There's three of them now. We used to wean in the spring and then retain everything through to finishing at 3-year-old. Now we wean in the autumn. They go out to Hamner and 1,300 calves, and they get finished before their 2-year-old. so at better weights, so that, you know, the profitability's increased, and means we were able to drop our numbers from 10,000 to just over 5,000, but increase our cows. So we've gone from 2,300 cows to 3,000 cows, but our total numbers have dropped. So it's been quite a revelation. And
here we are at a gate. I'll hop out. Look at that. Have you traversed every square meter of this property?
No, I've still got a bit to go. That was one of my goals, is to walk the boundaries. I've still got a bit to go, but I've been over a fair bit of it, but I've still got a few bits and pieces. It seems to be that you've got to make time to do those sort of things, and it doesn't always work out. Now, coming up to Redgate, this is a historic hut. This is where Ivanhoe Stanley Orgard passed away. He was a rabbiter here, I believe, in the 1890s, I think it was. He ended up, basically, he committed suicide at the hut here. We'll show you his grave. He's buried in the horse paddock here. And along the way, he took the life of another. He had a girlfriend. She wrote him a Dear John letter. So he wrote a very pleading letter back and gave it to a guy who worked at Tarndale to give to the girlfriend, and the guy read it out at the lodging houses on the way through. So when Orgard found out about it, he rode through to Tarndale and sought the guy out and shot him and come back here and took his own life. So it was pretty tragic, and that's his grave, just in the horse paddock there.
Here we are. In memory of Ivanhoe Stanley Orgard,
yep.
Born Surrey, England, 1844, died near this spot.
This is a big story for that time, and it was a rough thing to have happen. You know, interestingly enough, the guy he went and shot, no one knows where he was buried.
What a peaceful resting place, though.
Oh, yeah. It's a cool spot. Love it. When we work here, like, for bulling up, like, the guys will ride through from Tarndale and do the bulling up in Alma, stay the night here. Then they'll ride back through Travellers Valley, go back to Tarndale that way. And, so it's an overnight stop. Or else when we're calf marking, you know, we'll be here, half a dozen horses here for, well, 3 or 4 days while we muster all these blocks into the yards and calf mark and whatever. So, pretty cool. Good view, eh?
The land was once 4 separate stations. After a tide of rabbits, huge stock losses, and the economic gloom of the 30s and 40s, it was abandoned to the Crown. Dock now administers it and leases it to Pāmu, formerly Land Corp, which has been farming it since 1987. Molesworth lies beneath Tapuai or Uenuku, the highest peak in the Kaikoura Ranges. Māori established trails through the area for mahinga kai, gathering food and ponamu, and for moving between the east and west coasts.
The whakapapa of Molesworth is something that's huge to everybody. I feel really proud that we've got 5 million plus owners. As I said, no one entity owns this. Land Corp certainly own the improvements and run the property, but it's land that we all have an empathy with. You know, we can all trace something back to here. It's amazing the people you meet that have got a great uncle that worked here. Or I was out by the lakes one day, and I come across a very elderly lady, and just right in the middle of nowhere. And I said, you know, what are you doing? And she said, I'm trying to see if I can see Tarndale from this spot. And so I said, well, you can't. But I said, what do you want to see? You know, you got a connection with Tarndale. She said, my mother was born in the kitchen there in 1895. That's special. That is hugely special. But there's a lot of other people. Like, since I've been here, there's 6 sets of ashes of stockmen have been spread at Tarndale. It really gets inside your bones, I tell you. That dog barks every time people are talking. Every time he likes to have a big part of the conversation, I'm sure.
He's feeling left out.
Further west, near the Clarence River, we catch up with the muster. It's a week into mating, and Duncan, Connell and Liam on horseback are making sure the bulls and cows are together.
Yeah, even with the early start, we sort of got caught with the heat. So I've only got about half as far as what we wanted. But we're just bringing them down just to put them on better feed. You don't want to overgraze anything. You don't want to overgraze your loose condition. So we're just trying to shuffle the cows around and keep them with the bulls. That's the salt helps a lot with that. But yeah, there's a really good grazing down through this area, down through here. So it's the right thing to do. But
And a lot of that work at this time of year is around keeping the cows near the bulls.
Yeah, correct. Yeah. Well, the bull's only out for 63 days, so we try and make sure that we get as many. Well, our goal is 66% in the first cycle, first 21 days. So and we try to get, in the first cycle, first 21 days of mating, we try and get 66% of our cows and calf, which is optimum, yeah. And then 88 and 42, and 94, 96, and 63 days. But that's the one we struggle with. We don't normally get that high. Yeah.
What type of cow do you think does best on Molesworth?
That's up to can of worms, isn't it? No, I think like the Angus Cross, the Whitehead's our best cow by far. The Angus, you know, is a good solid performer, but that first cross is an amazing cow. So that's sort of what we're chasing here.
And the stocking rate has reduced over the years. Have you reduced it more in the time that you've been here?
Yeah, I have. But you know, with the farms that were picked up in Hamner, enabled us to wean in the autumn, so therefore all our concentration now right through our season is just on our female stock, cows, the replacements and the weaners. All the steer calves go to the Hamner finishing farms the day they weaned, and that's you know, our goal was to lower our physical footprint and increase our profitability, and that's how we've done it.
How much has profitability increased by over the years since you've been here?
This place has always been quite profitable. It's just the physical input, the environmental input. So we, in order to maintain where we were, we had to drop. So no, it's a solid performer. Yeah, solid performer.
Does it produce a profit?
Yes, definitely. Yeah. I wouldn't be here without it. No, we have to turn a profit. That's rule number one.
And the income that Molesworth makes, does that go to running the place as a recreation reserve as well?
Partly. A lot of what we do goes to keeping the farming program up in speed, but then there's a lot of historic assets we spend a lot of money on maintaining. We pay a fair share of road maintenance and all the bits and pieces, although we're not the biggest user of the road. So, you know, I think it was termed some years ago community responsibility. You know, this public land, we all own it, so part of our income goes back to maintaining that as it is.
And the next big job on the farm is?
Oh, calf market.
Calf market.
Yeah, big buzz for that. We all love that. That's a real good gauge of how our season's gone and how well how the calves have gone on. Because we aim for a 240 kilo weaner in April, May, and never quite got there. 232 was their best, 220, 222 last year, 223, something like that. But that's a wee bit seasonal, but yeah, if we can hit that 240, we'd be stoked. Yeah. Maybe this year.
Time to load up and head back.
Yeah, it's a bit too hot now, but sort of didn't go as good as we thought it might. We got held up on the salt. There's another salt pad up the way.
Oh, they like that.
Yeah, they got stuck on, so they all got mismothered there first thing.
How's Roger?
Yeah, he's good. He loves it. I haven't heard him complain anyway.
So is it over for the day? I mean, it's 20 past 11 in the morning.
Yeah.
You've been out here for more than 5 hours?
Yeah, for stock work it will be, yeah. And then we'll go back and put some more salt out on it and some other drops around the place.
It's about as far as you can get from Auckland's North Shore. That's where 22-year-old Connell is from.
So is this always something you've wanted to do?
Not originally, but ended up changing my life plans and, yeah, ended up going farming because I enjoyed it.
And what's the best part about your job at the moment?
Oh, being outdoors. dogs, horses, doing what I love.
And being on Molesworth?
Yeah.
How special is that?
No, it's pretty unreal. Pretty lucky to be here. Yeah, very lucky.
What do you like about the place?
Oh, just everything. Everything. Good people to work for. Cool place. Massive.
The road through Molesworth is open to visitors 6 months a year, and Jim says about 9,000 people drive through.
How's it going?
These two are taking the slow route home to the North Island.
Where are you based? Where are you camped?
We haven't camped, we've just been driving and following those orange arrows at the moment.
Okay, you just follow this track we've just come on, and just follow the orange markers. Instead of going down, crossing the river, you'll see there's a crossing there. Instead of going on the crossing there. Yeah.
First time I've ever been in here.
Where are you from?
Tauranga.
Jesus! Really, Miss Mother.
I'm from Bethlehem, but I'm from I'm not Jesus. Blair is my name.
Oh, okay.
So is this your
life? We would like the public to at least come once in their lifetime and make their own decision about what they're seeing.
And those guys were stopping when they wanted, backtracking if they saw a hut that they found interesting.
Yeah, but yeah, I remember one of our CEO, former CEO, he came up with the idea that he likened Molesworth to Te Papa. You know, it's free to go there, and it's part of every New Zealander, and it's got operational areas that you can't go to. So that's how he described Molesworth. I still think it's quite valid, you know.
It's the end of a long, hot day, and cook Jilly Miller is getting dinner ready.
We are having venison burgers shot by the boys and even cut by them tonight, which is really, really good.
Jilly is one of a long line who've worked at the Molesworth cookshops, travelling with the men to camps at Tarndale and Bush Gully.
The uniqueness, just the oldness of some of the things that we've got here, it's just really, really cool to be able to be a part of something that's so iconic to our country. Beautiful scenery, changes so quickly, just awesome.
She has a few different roles, from first aid giver to camp mother.
Sometimes it's to be kind and loving and caring, and sometimes it's to be telling them off a wee bit. I think it's probably harder for them to be away from family and friends and things. If I see, I just sort of ask, are you okay?
And at the end of the day, the dogs get their downtime too.
Just like humans.
Yeah, no dogs the same.
They've all got their own. Weird ones, and there's fat ones, and there's skinny ones.
Ugly ones.
Fighting ones, happy ones.
Yeah, they're all... yeah, they're all very, very different. Yeah, no, yeah, like I say, no dogs the same.
He's the biggest softie around. Yeah, he just loves cattle and food, don't you, big fella? Yeah, look at us. Look at us. Go on. Yeah, he's on the belly rub.
The stockmen of Molesworth Station with their dogs. They have had stock women too, by the way. Thanks to Liam Harris, Duncan Vandermas, Connell Baxter and Josh Fogo for putting up with me and my microphones.